Today's episode of Storyworthy is brought to you by Podcorn. Podcorn is a marketplace connecting podcasters to amazing podcast sponsorship opportunities like host-read ads, interview segments, topical discussions, and more. You guys, with Podcorn, there is no middleman. Podcasters of all sizes can browse and choose opportunities that are right on the platform. They can set their own rates and collaborate with brands directly without any exclusivities. Look, you guys, you never give up any rights to your podcast, and Podcorn is here to support you at every step and ensure that you're protected and compensated for the work that you do for brands. Click the link in the show notes to sign up for Podcorn and start browsing sponsorship opportunities. Believe me, you guys, I've been in this game for 10 years, and this is the easiest I've ever found sponsorship for the show. A huge thanks to Podcorn for sponsoring this episode. And again, you guys, explore sponsorship opportunities and start monetizing your podcast by signing up at podcorn.com/podcasters. Again, you guys, head over to podcorn.com/podcasters and learn more about Podcorn, or simply click the link in the show notes. Now on with the show. Hey, it's Christine from Storyworthy. Today on the show, former American Gladiator, NFL player, and best-selling author Dan Nitro Clark tells a hilarious story about his mishap with 23andMe.
I wanted to know where I came from, so I took this little test called 23andMe. And it says, hey, do you want to click this button and know which relatives you have in the nearby area? I'm like, yeah, sure. I probably got some second cousins, some third cousins over here, no problem. So I go through, I click this button, and right away, it populates. And it has like 60 people. And there's one at top that I kind of read over and it says 50%. And I stop, I say, wait a second, 50%?
Today on the show, Dan Nitro Clark talks about his mishap with 23andMe. Stay close.
Hey, this is Dan Nitro. I don't know why I always do that, Clark. And you are listening to Storyworthy.
Welcome to Storyworthy. My name is Christine Blackburn, and I'm coming to you from Los Angeles, California. Whether you're a longtime fan of the show or a new listener, welcome to Storyworthy. Now, I hope you guys enjoyed the show last week with comedian Joe Manente. Did you happen to listen to last week's story, Dan?
It's on my list, Christine.
Okay. The title was Teaching Special Ed. Fair enough. I've done that. I mean, we chatted about that, but I just never knew where this guy's story was going until he hit the climax of the episode. And when you hear it, you will laugh. I mean, honestly, it might have been the hardest I've laughed in 10 years of doing this. It's a really good story. So please, you guys, go back and listen to Joe Manente, which I have to say, here's something I love about my show between you and I, Dan, and everybody listening. I have on some really famous people, and then I have on people that are just completely regular people that I like. You're in between. No, I'm kidding.
Well, you don't know me well enough to really start to like me yet. I'll be one of your favorite people because I'm a big reader.
Joe Manente, he is a good comedian, but he just happens to tell a story like nobody's business, and it's just super funny. So go back, you guys, listen to that, but not today, because today you're here and I'm here with Dan Nitro Clark. And Dan, I have to say, you're my very first gladiator.
That you've had?
That I've had on the show.
Oh, okay.
Which I'm sure is, you probably find unusual, because who hasn't had an American gladiator on the show? But you are my first one, and you also played in the NFL. So I usually don't have sporty guys like you.
Well, I think I'm that rare crossbreed where I'm both an entertainer and a former professional athlete.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's Fred Dreyer. Do you remember him?
No.
Are you serious?
Was he on Brady Bunch?
No, Fred Dreyer had some show on for 10 years.
Yeah.
And back in the old day, there was Alex Karras who had some show.
Jack LaLanne.
O.J. Simpson.
O.J. Simpson. What do you mean about, what are you talking about? Like, yeah, Joe Montana. You're talking about old quarterbacks?
Well, no, I'm talking about guys who had, who were athletes who also got into the entertainment
business. Yes, of course. And so, O.J. was actually pretty okay in the Naked Guns.
Naked Guns, but he had a TV series too called First and Ten on HBO.
Oh, that's right.
And that's how I got my start into showbiz. I moved up here from Orange County, California, which is an hour south of here, to be an extra.
And And then you end up, did you meet OJ then?
Oh, yeah, many times.
Nice guy, of
course. I did it for 2 or 3 years. Yeah,
so definitely. Nice guy, great guy, all that stuff.
Until.
Yeah, I know, but was there any signs on your part? Like, did you think, like, yeah, OJ's okay, man, but he's so controlling.
No. OJ was the man. I mean, he was the man. I felt like I was standing next to a legend. I was like, OJ, you know, if he just said hi to you, you were just like, oh my God, I just talked to OJ, this guy I grew up watching. He did have a lot of females coming by his trailer.
Yeah.
But I just said, oh man. And that was interesting when I was a young kid that... When I was a young guy, 24 years old, that's what I said. One day, I want to have my own show and have a lot of girls coming by my trailer.
Yeah, I can imagine. Well, sure. But I mean, like at that time, was he like gregarious? Of course, right? Life of the party. He walks in, everybody turns, right? Is it like that?
Yeah, he was charismatic and he was cool.
Charismatic, yeah.
He was cool.
I actually never met anybody that knew OJ. So this is sort of interesting for me. I did have on Sugar Ray Leonard.
Sugar Ray's great.
And he's a great guy. Super normal.
Different guy, though.
Yeah, and I know. So I'm saying is like he was never... Well, first of all, I definitely don't think he beats his wife. But I mean, like Ray is so low-key, very normal, very... You know, he's kind of a quiet guy, and that's that.
Well, Ray, Sugar Ray's got the best smile.
Yeah.
His smile is disarming, too.
He's the best skin.
And he's friendly, and he's kind of soft-spoken. Yeah. OJ was just at another level of... I would say machismo.
Yeah.
You know, he just had a charisma, but it was a cool, refined charisma.
Nobody would ever say, like, OJ was a dick, man. Like, they'd never say that.
No, not at that age. That age, I was just like, I was happy to be in a shadow.
Just curious,
happy
man.
To be in the same, you know, vicinity as OJ.
Yeah, that's interesting. I'm curious. Anyway, you are a very interesting person, and that's why I definitely wanted you on the show, Dan. And you come forth with the topic 23andMe, and I guess that's the, I mean, obviously, it's when you get your genetics tested.
Yeah, you go and you pay the whatever $150 and it tells you where you
come
from.
I know, but what do? You spit in a cup? You pull out your hair?
You spit in a cup, you send this thing off. Yeah, you spit into a cup, if I remember correctly. I did it a few years ago. I spit in this cup, I sent it off, and it was just to see what my heritage was.
Okay.
I'm half Japanese, half European.
Okay.
And that's all I wanted to see, and it was a simple thing to see, and I did it probably 3 years ago.
All right, well, don't tell me the story yet. But I'm just curious because, like, I haven't done this. And maybe if somebody, like, did it, like, gifted it to me and said, you know, here, I got you this for Christmas, then you do this. You know what I mean? Then do it. But otherwise, I don't think I would because it's not going to say anything. It's going to say, I mean, for me personally, it's going to say, like, you're American. Like you're
You're Native American.
No. Yeah, true. But I guess it would say, like, you're from like outside.
You're like Elizabeth Warren. You're an American Indian.
No, I mean, first of all, did she just say that though on a college application? Was that when she said that?
I believe she said that in a college.
But is that it?
I don't know. I haven't followed her.
I hate that criticism.
But I actually do like her.
I love her.
She's very well spoken.
She's
great.
She's so capable. It's ridiculous. My point is, I hate that criticism because if she did that when she was 22 or 23. We're all idiots.
Right. Well, she's running against a guy who says, I'll grab girls by this.
Yeah, I know.
And she's made one little, you know.
But I don't know how that story shakes out. Like, as if, like, is she still saying that? I mean,
No.
Well, anyway, was she exposed that way? Is that how she was exposed?
I think Trump exposed her.
By a 23andMe thing.
No, I have no idea. I have no idea.
Well, your heritage must be more interesting just because of the half Japanese factor.
Yeah, well, I'm actually more than half Japanese. I don't know how, because my dad has got light hair and these big, big blue eyes, and he's from Iowa. But somehow I came out at 52% Japanese. It may be a little American Indian.
Yeah, well, I'm anxious to hear this, because I just feel like if somebody said to me, okay, you know, your mother's family or your ancestors are from Italy, which is, I guess, what is true. And your father's side, Blackburn, that's an English word, you know, Blackburn, Lancashire in England, the Blackburn Rovers. And then they say, okay, so you got Italian in you and you got in you some English. And then I say, okay, what's for dinner?
No, it goes a little more depth than that. Like my family, my father's mother's last name was Riggins.
Uh-huh.
So they always told me I was half Irish, half Japanese.
Okay.
So when I went into 23andMe, I realized that I'm 17% English, 16% French, 4% Welsh, 7% Irish. So it actually breaks it down.
But isn't it so you're from that region? So we can say you're from that region and you're also from the Japanese region.
The country. Ohio Gozaimasu. Ohio Gozaimasu, the country of Japan, yes.
All right. Well, I'm anxious to hear more in depth of the story because I always feel like once you learn that, then we're like, okay, let's wrap it up.
There's more things. They can actually tell you if you have any genetic health issues.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Any chromosomes.
Yeah.
And it gets in more in depth. It can tell you like you're more likely to be attracted to sweet foods. Taste salt is salty.
Yeah.
You're more likely to have a built that does is more strength. So it goes in all these other
habits. Do you have
habits.
To pay more money to get all those details?
I don't remember.
Yeah.
Money's no object to me.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So I don't remember.
I see.
It comes
see.
And goes. It
well,
flows.
So then, so you were you also, are you also the kind of guy that would like buy a star? Is that what you're telling me?
I might.
Like buy a star in the sky?
Oh, I thought you meant my own star on the boulevard.
When I walk
over, when I walk over to Studio City, I
no,
go.
No, I definitely
I
do
go,
that.
Like, you know, God, I think I'm going to pay for a star.
Yeah, I definitely do that. No, but you know, like.
Not
you know,
on Hollywood Boulevard, but in the Studio City, the low rent version on Ventura Boulevard,
but
they have stars.
What about like a star in the sky?
Oh, no, no, I'm not going to buy a star
okay.
in the sky.
I'm just saying.
I'm just saying this, Christine. I've had a lot of money. I've had no money.
Yeah.
And it doesn't dictate my happiness.
Yeah.
That's
I hear,
I say
I hear what
no
you're saying.
To me.
Yeah, no.
No, but I'm not buying a star in the sky. I'm not buying,
saying?
Blue sky property. No, that's not going to happen.
No. I understand. And I know that you've had health scares. I've had health scares. So once you go through heart attacks, cancer, this sort of thing, you definitely come out the other side like, okay, I see the timeline of life and I see where I am. And I believe you and I are probably the exact same age or very close to it.
You look much younger than
well, I still think we're the same age, and we both know that we're more than middle-aged, and the last chapter is probably going to be the shortest.
I would have to agree 100%. And you know what? For some people, when I talked, like my girlfriend, I talked to her about this. I said, look, I'm looking at the odds at heart attack at 49 years old.
Yeah, right.
If I'm looking at the numbers of how long people live after a heart attack, I'm probably, 65.
Yeah. Oh, I doubt. You're so strong. You're going to be around a lot longer than
But if
that.
You just look at the numbers. My dad died at 58. His brother died at 59.
Wow. That's crazy.
So if you just look at
were
the
those
numbers,
heart issues?
No.
Okay.
One was diabetes, one was a drug. My dad was a drug overdose.
Okay.
So that's a whole different story. So I look at the numbers and it's not being cynical. If you just look at the raw data.
I know. Well, and that's why I'm saying we realize how tangible every day is. Plus, you have an 8-year-old, I have an 11-year-old. Oh my God, no, my daughter. She's 22. No, she's 13.
She's 13.
I'm
see how
still
time, see how time
she's
flies.
11.
Time flies. Jesus. So I have a 32-year-old Tyler who lives here, and then my girlfriend has an 8-year-old. So
that's
I'm getting
so
to see
sweet.
Parenthood at with a 25-year window.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you one thing that I learned in this 25 years between my son and this son is that in the past when my son was young, 25 years ago, I had all the energy in the world, but I didn't have the patience.
Mm-hmm.
Now I've got so much patience,
but
not enough energy to keep up with this little 8-year-old. So
no,
it's
I hear what you're
changes.
Saying. You know, when my dad turned 30, he had me, and I was the sixth child. So my dad's 30 years. No, he was 33. My mom was 30. So she had my first sister at 20, me at 30. Six kids all together within 10 years. And my dad was 33. So he was rightly pissed off, like all the time. And so he led. Like with an authoritative status, just do this, don't do this, you're going to get yelled at. So it was all that, that going on in the house. And now I see that as crazy. And in fact, my dad, he passed away a few years ago, but we would even say like, Dad, you called us a horse's ass, like on a daily basis. Like you would say, don't be such a shit for brains. And sometimes he would combine them like, you're being a horse's ass shit for brains. and he'd say, oh, I never said that. You kids are making stuff up.
Yeah, it's, I think one of the biggest things I learned is that when my first son, I also raised him with intimidation, with the threat of violence, even though
yes,
I never hit him.
Intimidation. Yeah,
but,
that's
but
what
now,
I meant.
But now, I was just meeting with a buddy of mine for lunch, and I was just saying, You know what weakness is anger and rage.
Yeah.
If you can't find another way to motivate somebody, to change somebody, to influence somebody besides yelling and screaming, you are a weak ass bitch.
You're out of control.
You're a weak ass bitch.
Well,
pardon
that's
me.
What, that's what Trump male, is. And that's what
male
Trump
or
is.
Female.
Right.
You are, and this guy, I knew he had anger issues.
Mm-hmm.
So I wasn't talking directly to him, but I was talking about me, about how that's how I've dealt with it, how I've categorized anger as weakness.
Right.
And it really clicked with him. because that means you're not strong enough.
You're not in control.
Your stuff, exactly. And you don't have anything else in your bag of tools.
In your quiver.
Yeah, in your quiver. What is that?
Thank
quiver?
You. Isn't that what you hold your arrows in?
I don't know.
Come on, Dan, kick it up a notch.
That sounded like something sexual to me. A quiver.
You were the gladiator,
it
not me.
It sounds like something sexual. Like, oh gosh, you in my quiver.
She quivered. Yeah. You were a gladiator. Is that where the Nitro part of your name comes from?
Yeah, I was like Dwayne The Rock Johnson before Dwayne was The Rock.
And you were Dan The Nitro.
I like you at the Nitro, like I'm ready to take off. The Rock. Well, that was him. So yeah, the American Gladiators was my entree into show business, where the first thing that was really successful in show business, probably the last thing.
Yeah. But well, I wonder what that craze was all about. It was in the 90s, Gladiator thing. I think it was game shows were a big deal. The obstacle course kind of game shows, right?
There were none. We were the first. So Running Man with Schwarzenegger had just come out.
Oh, okay.
And so everyone was like, whoa, that'd be so cool.
I see.
And that was the whole concept you had these weekend warriors where they had a chance to go against these superhuman gladiator athletes. I see.
So you must have met along the way Arnold Schwarzenegger. Yes.
And he's Lou, same guy. All the guys.
Great guy, right? Always,
yeah, great
always
guy.
Great guys. Guy. You can't say anything negative, even though you hear it later that he, you know, has a child with his nanny and all that personal stuff is just, it doesn't matter, right? Because they're just great guys.
You know, I don't know him well enough to say that about him, you know?
I'm just curious because if you become so focused on your body and so focused about, you know, whether it's bodybuilding or whatever that is, it's just so much focus on yourself. And I always just wonder then, how do they give if they're always... But I guess that was when Schwarzenegger was at his best or at his peak.
I think what you're doing
speaking regarding bodybuilding.
Christy, the thing you're missing here is anytime anybody reaches greatness, whether it's an artist, whether it's a musician, whether it's a bodybuilder, whether it's an athlete, it takes a certain amount of selfishness.
Yeah.
But just because that person achieved a great result doesn't mean they are selfish and they don't know how to give.
Yeah.
But I find it's usually after they've accomplished, like Kobe.
Mm-hmm.
Kobe was a relentless competitor.
Sure.
I mean, people did not like him. There's all these rumors that star players did not want to come to LA because they didn't want to play with Kobe.
Wow.
But you see when Kobe's died, when he's dead. Now you start to see his legacy. You start to see what kind of father he is. But sometimes in order to achieve a greatness, you have to block everything out.
Yeah.
And you're
pushing buttons along the way and you just have to keep on moving.
Yeah, but you got to block stuff out. You have to be so focused, to achieve greatness. But that doesn't mean you're not a love or give.
Yeah. Interesting. I'm just thinking about it. Huh. All right, listen, you guys, we're going to get to Dan's story in just a second, but I did want to remind you to follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Storyworthy. You know that. But what I really want you to do is follow the Story Smash Instagram. Yes, in fact, my game show, Story Smash, is en fuego, I believe they say.
On fire.
I believe so. We're already sold out for this Saturday night. Very exciting. So check out Story Smash on Instagram. That's where I post all the show photos. And then, of course, head over to storysmashshow.com as well. Super fun website. I know that because I built it. I heard about you one time, Dan. You're talking about, like, you know, you've written a couple of books and stuff. And, you know, you learned to type so that you could write. And then you learned to write. And then you wrote the books, etc. And it's so true. It's like... I had to do the same thing. Like everything I've done with Storyworthy, it's because I learned to do it. You know what I mean? Like I learned to build websites so I can have a website. So now I have websites. You know what I mean? Or it's like you learn how to do one of these social medias and then, but it's all just, you just have to learn.
Well, but not only have you learned.
There's no shortcuts.
I have to commend you, Christine, on your sticking with it.
Yeah.
9 years, right? Nine or 10 years.
It'll be 10 in July.
10 years.
I know.
I mean, that's more than learning. That's mastering.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. Like Malcolm Gladwell said, I think you need 10,000 hours. And I was thinking, 10,000 hours divided by 10 years of podcasting, 1,000 hours a year, is that like 3 hours a day?
Yeah, I'm Asian, but I didn't get the math gene.
Guess what? I think I'm a genius.
It is.
I think I am. I think it's 10,000 hours, ladies and gentlemen. It's very exciting.
That's why I wanted to be here with you. I wanted to experience some of that greatness.
I'm telling you, it's super fun to meet you. And let's get right to your story. You guys, like we said, Dan Nitro Clark is a former American Gladiator, an NFL player. You played for the LA Rams.
Yes.
Yes.
The best bench warm you've ever met.
I had an NBA guy on once, too. He was so funny. Paul Shirley, a guy who played in the NBA. It was just another interesting, though. I mean, I do find professional sports pretty interesting, you know, the backstory. Because being from Pittsburgh, growing up on the Steelers, like, these were gods. Like, we didn't know that they actually went home. They had a shower and a bed and dressers and, like, a house. Like, it just felt like they were, you know, like, it's like meeting a movie star in a way. You know what I mean? Like, you don't really see how their day-to-day goes. You just see them on the red carpet.
I think even with movie stars and professional athletes, I think nowadays with TMZ and social media, that drape has been pulled back.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Like you, when I was growing up, a professional athlete to me was a movie star.
Yeah, for sure.
I was 5 years old and I lived in Minnesota with my aunt and my uncle. There was a running back for the Vikings who came and he like signed a football and he gave it to me.
Wow.
And I almost like started crying at 5 years old because he was a hero.
What was his name?
I don't even remember.
That's so sweet. I remember, though, as a kid, like sitting in a restaurant and Lynn Swan being, you know, like across the restaurant. It was like, this can't even be. How can this be? Like my head would explode. And now I'm watching TV with my daughter and almost everybody on the screen, she's like, do you know him? Do you know her? I'm like, yeah.
We've become cynical. Like, there is nobody that would walk in front of me that I'd be like, oh, my God, look. You know, look, I'm the first person to call and share in someone's success. Oh, good job. Yeah. Congratulations. You've done well. But there,
nobody at all you would be like, whoa.
No.
Okay, wait a second.
I've met three presidents in one night.
Interesting.
At Marvin Davis's house, old guy who used to own 20th Century Fox, Don Rickles, Lee Iacocca, everybody in one night. And I've just learned this, that people are people.
Yeah, I know.
We all have same struggles. They're just at a different level.
My friend was in the room, like one of the Golden Globe parties or something. And it was at the time with Brad and Angelina. And he's like, they walked in the room. And he's like, he wasn't even looking at them, but he could feel the whole room just shift. Like the energy of the room just went like vroom. You know, to see them. He just said it was almost like a movement in the air.
Yeah, I mean,
strange,
right?
A
couple years back, I'm at a house on Woodrow Wilson, and a tree fell across the road.
Mm-hmm.
And so traffic had to stop both sides. It's a two-lane road
up
here in the hills, in Hollywood Hills. And the first car that pulls up is a white Range Rover. And I'm in there, like, you know, telling people to stop directing traffic. I go knock on window.
It?
The window goes down. It's Al Pacino. And I'm like, you know, I'm like,
that is like,
hi, Al.
The funniest celebrity sighting.
Yeah, like,
and
hi,
did
Al.
You say, like, you got to back it up, turn around?
I did. And he said, hey, you know, my kids, they live right down the street here. I got to get through. And I said, okay, go through this. He was a perfect gentleman.
Good.
And I think I said, booyah.
That is like that when so I saw him. Funny.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good one.
But I wasn't like, oh, I just walked upstairs.
I was like,
hey, honey.
I mean, nobody.
I just ran to Al Pacino. His kids, I guess, go to school here. Oh, and by the way, three houses down, that's Johnny Depp's ex-wife's house.
Yeah.
And his two kids live there.
It's sort of fun. You know, I kind of like that in terms of like.
Okay, I'm going to tell you my favorite celebrity story. This is when I first moved to LA. Gladiators had been on 2 years. I was at a restaurant in Beverly Hills.
Yeah.
I'm sitting with my girlfriend. I'm like, hey, check it out. I go, that's Steve Martin over there, like three tables over. She's like, she's Italian. So I don't know who a Steve Martin is. And I'm like, he's like really famous. So I get back and I'm eating and all of a sudden I feel a tap on my shoulder. It's Steve Martin. He taps me on the shoulder and he says, hi, I'm Steve. And I said, oh, hi, Steve, how you doing? He says, I watched The American Gladiators.
Oh, my.
And I think I think you're great. And I was like, oh, I stood up, you know, my heart's pounding in my chest. I said, oh, thank you, Steve. He goes, hey, I want you to come over to my table and meet a friend of mine. I come over there. There's three other people at the table. And he walks over and he says, oh, this is my friend, Dustin.
Are you lying to me
right now? I swear to God. This is my friend Dustin. He goes, hey, this is the American Gladiator guy, that TV show I was telling you about. This is Dustin Hoffman.
Wow.
And I shook his hand and I walked back across the table. It was one of the...
That is really a good celebrity setting because it's like the... It's a flip. It's a reversal celebrity sighting.
It was so crazy. The last one I will tell you, and we'll get off the living in the past, was... I was at the party with all the presidents, and I was friends with Tony Griffin, who was Merv Griffin's only son.
Uh-huh, okay.
And I was friends with Merv back in the day, and it was an amazing party up at Marvin Davis's house. And, you know, there's, like I said, all the presidents.
Yeah.
And I met two of them. And
which presidents then? It was Clinton and Bush?
No, it was Carter and it was Ford.
Oh, wow.
But there was one president at that time who just finished with his presidency, and it was Reagan.
Oh.
And Merv's walking Reagan out the door, and he catches me like 5 feet behind him. And he says, oh, hey, Mr. President, have you met Dan yet? And then, you know, Ronald turns it around. He's like, no, I haven't. And I said, oh, Mr. President, so nice to meet you. This is before we had cell phone cameras,
yeah,
all
course.
Those things. And that was...
That's pretty cool.
That was pitter-patter in the heart a little
yeah.
bit.
Yeah. You can feel the amount of power that comes from people like that. I mean, Bill Clinton, they say, is very much like that.
Do you know he had the budget down to zero? The deficit down to zero during his presidency? Now we're $57 trillion?
I know.
It was 20 years ago this day, I believe.
20 years ago this day, really? Well, that's a quick mind. Why do you think that?
Because I heard it on the radio coming over.
Say, Jesus,
you know what else happened on this day? It was this, and this. And Bill Clinton had the budget down to zero. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's 30 years ago.
Yeah, he's also a savant. So there's that. Just throw out any date and time, and it'll tell you what happened. You have a couple of books. You're a best-selling author. You're also a speaker, an entrepreneur, motivational speaker. I don't have to tell you this. Is there a difference between motivationally speaking and just speaking?
You know what? I'm not motivated to tell you this.
It's your bio, man.
Is there a difference in motivation? Yeah. I think there's a lot of people who are trainers and coaches who teach specific things. Like they will go and tell you how to fix your click funnels. They will go and tell
you. Excuse me? I don't know you that well. That's really personal.
I'm talking to your quiver.
That's really personal. Okay, so there's a difference.
There is a difference.
I believe
it's the content.
You also have a podcast right now called Calm the Beast.
We're doing a rebrand. It's going to be called The Gladiator Way.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
It makes sense. The Gladiator Way.
So then now it's going to be more like Gladiator, Contender, Begin.
Yes. Yeah. Well, you know what? Calm the Beast. I loved it, but so many people today want to unleash their beast.
Yeah.
And we're spending so much time in the marketing and stuff explaining what Calm the Beast was.
Yeah.
And then we said, let's just make it easy. I used to be on TV. I used to run around in spandex. Let's call it The Gladiator Way. It's still through the same lens.
What did it mean, Calm the Beast? Like,
the Beast is that negative voice in your head.
I see.
Calm the Beast is the anxiety, stress. And my belief is, for me, you know, someone who's gone through all the addiction, all those issues, I had to calm that voice in my head, find inner peace before I could move forward and have the happiness and success that I wanted.
Yeah.
See how it's a mouthful.
No, I hear what you're saying.
So the Gladiator Way.
That's it. So the Gladiator Way is more about
It's the same lens, but it's giving people the tools to commit, crush, conquer whatever stands in their way from having the happiness and success.
Crush, conquer.
Commit, crush, conquer. I love
commit,
the three
crush,
C's.
Crush, conquer.
Well,
I
used to have a race business called the Gladiator Run.
I see.
For 10 years.
Oh, like a 10K or something.
Well, it was an obstacle race.
Oh, I see.
Like Spartan, like Tough Mudder.
Oh,
I used to
run
out the Rose Bowl here in Pasadena,
fun.
Stadium.
Like,
I went to Pittsburgh a few times.
Yeah.
And that was in our T-shirt, the Gladiator Run. Commit, crush, conquer.
I see. Oh, that's very clever. You've also been featured on all sorts of shows like Good Morning America, Access Hollywood, Entertainment Tonight, People, Time Magazine, Esquire, Men's Health, Sports Illustrated, of course. And you've got a great website as well. You guys can find them over there at dannitroclark.net. And I'm very excited to hear your story about 23andMe. So wherever you are, folks, put your hands together for the very talented and interesting Dan Nitro Clark.
I love the way you say Nitro. That's the way my girlfriend says it. Nitro, come to bed. So 4 years ago, I wanted to know more about my race. I wanted to know where I came from. So I took this little test called 23andMe.
Right.
Now, 23andMe, you spit into a cup, as we talked about earlier, and you go, and then you wait anxiously, and it tells you where you're from. I had this idea because I read an article in the New York Times that said up to possibly 10% of kids are not fathered by who they think they are. And I don't know much about my mom. She was from Japan. You know, I don't think she was promiscuous, but I just wanted to know what my history was. I wanted to know how much Japanese was. I wanted to know if I was American Indian. I wanted to know these things. So I got the test back. There were no big surprises. It told me what I was, and I was like, okay, and I had a lot of Neanderthal in me. No surprise.
Well, what else would you be if you're not Neanderthal?
No.
What's another option?
You're a Homo sapien.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, there's another one. There's a humanoid or something. You have so many Neanderthal, but the Neanderthal also mated with what we are, our ancestors. There's another name for it. I don't know if they're humanoids or whatever they are.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so we're not 100% Neanderthal.
Okay.
No. So, and this was like nothing. It was fine and went by. And then about 3 months ago, I get an email from 23andMe. And it says, hey, do you want to click this button and know which relatives you have in the nearby area? I'm like, yeah, sure. I probably got some second cousin, some third cousin over here. No problem. So I go through, I click this button, and right away, it populates. And it has like 60 people that I'm related to. I'm like, whoa, this is interesting. And I'm reading through, it tells you the percentage, 4%, 8%, 10%. And there's one at top that I kind of read over and it says 50%. And I'm like, oh, Troy Baker, that's interesting. And I kind of go back to read the next one, fourth cousin from Alabama, this. And I stop, I said, wait a second, 50%, Troy Baker.
50% it is what?
They have the same genetics, chromosomes.
The same genetics. So that means there's a person with half your...
That means I have a son. I have another son I don't know about.
Oh my God.
That's what I said. I'm looking at this thing. I'm like, but I glance over because it doesn't even register. You know, I'm like, what? So I go back and I said, what, Troy Baker?
What did you do?
Well, I looked at this. The first thing I did, because I had connected so my relatives could see me. I got really scared. I went, boop, I hit that button really quick and I disconnected because I was like, and I just caught my breath for a second. And then I went and perused around the website a little bit and I was like, okay, is this right? Is this sure? And it said, yeah, you have a son. And I was like, wow, this is so strange. Okay, I have to wrap my mind around this for a second. And the first thing I thought was back child support.
Yeah, of course.
So I go, Google. I said, you know, is there a statute of limitations? They're like, no. No statute of limitations on child support. And I was like, oh my God.
Well, isn't that what you were thinking when you turned off the button that said people can find you?
Right. No, no. It was just a reaction. Okay. Because there was just so much going on.
You know, if somebody finds you, that'd be cool. I mean, maybe.
Sometimes like so much going on in your life, you know, you just shut down for a second.
Okay.
I just shut down. I hit that thing. I said, let me do some research. And I said, oh my God, I could owe this person, you know, this person's
mother. So did you Google them?
Hundreds of thousands of dollars, right? That's the first thing I did.
Yeah.
I could owe this person hundreds of thousands of dollars. And then I looked, I said, oh no, wait a second. There is no statute of limitations once they file. So nobody has filed, so I know, okay, first. And then the second thing goes through my head is, you know, what if this kid's a serial killer? What if he's like one of the Columbine kids? I don't know who this person is. It's a mine.
But aren't you thinking about who you slept with? You don't see the date of the person or like how old they are.
They have to be at least 18 years old.
So that you know so you're thinking like back 20 years.
Well, so no, that I did the exact thing you're saying. Yeah. I said, okay, when were the dark days?
Yeah.
When were the promiscuous days? And I remember back in 93 to 95, the American Gladiators went on tour.
I can't even imagine. I can't even imagine. It's your rock star fantasy come true.
Yeah, we sold out Madison Square Garden.
Oh my God.
You know, we did 120 venues and it's, I call it the dark ages because I don't remember anything.
I bet.
I had a female the other day, a woman, like hit me up on Instagram. She says, oh, you know, back in Cleveland. And I was like, oh, was it 94? She's like, yeah. I go, I have no idea what happened.
So this is what you're thinking when you're looking at these results.
Right. So what I do, and then I say, okay, I need to hire a lawyer. I want to find out who this kid is. because when you connect, when you do that, there's a red button right next to Troy Baker's name that says connect now.
Oh,
and
my
it will
God.
Send him a message. So I'm like, I don't. And then does he know that his dad is not his dad? Does he know this?
Wow.
There's all this stuff going on. So, of course, I write 23andMe. I said, I don't think your results are accurate. Are they? They're like, you know, you may not like this message, but, you know, yes, we're very, very accurate. If he has, you know, 50%, he is your son. You know, there's all these articles you can read.
So, and 23andMe has probably had this conversation before.
Oh, it's an FAQ.
Uh-huh.
they send you this list.
Sure.
FAQ. So
oh
it's just a list. So I'm like, I have a son. And then I said, I have to tell my, you know, my girlfriend.
Yeah.
And I
got to
tell my son, he may have a brother and all this stuff. All these thoughts are going through my head, but I don't want to tell her right away. I don't know why. There was something that made me feel dirty.
Yeah.
Dirty. Like,
well,
I had
you
a
have
kid.
A whole past.
Well, we all have our past, but just something about
this kid. I know, but there's one that's walking
accepted.
Around.
Right.
There's one that's alive.
So what I do is I go and I Google, like you said, Troy Baker, and then I started to narrow it down. I went to Facebook, Comedy Troy Bakers, and it was not good. Then I went to Instagram, and then I looked at all the Troy Bakers from that time period, and I see this kid, Troy Baker, and I said, that is my son.
Oh, my God.
He looks just like me. I put his picture next to
my
son's picture, and I said, oh, my God, how could this kid not be my son? He's in Hawaii. He's not a murderer. He's not any of these things. This is really, really cool. So I finally decide, three days later, I'm full of anxiety, all this stuff. And I tell my girlfriend, I said, hey, honey, I got to tell you something. This is like right after dinner. I go, I have a son. She's like, what? What do you mean you have a son? I know you have a son.
No.
I said, no, I got another son. She's like, did you cheat on me? No. I mean, I had to tell the whole story. Because she thought I had just like, you know, had a little kid down the street. So I tell the whole story, 23andMe, and she said, next time, lead with 23andMe.
Yeah.
You found this result, not that you have another son.
Yeah, you buried the lead.
So I buried the lead. And I tell her, And she was like, okay, yeah, I get it. Well, here's what we need to do. You need to call your son. You need to tell him all this stuff. And, you know, we'll figure it out. Then we'll figure out if we want to tell this kid, if we want to connect. And you know, the child support, no, the lawyer, okay, we don't need to do all that, right? So I go and call my son. And she's sitting there right by me. I said, hey, son, how you doing? I said, I got something to tell you. And he's like, what, Dad? So, you know, his dad was on TV. His dad wore spandex on TV. He's used to wild stuff.
Yeah.
But even though I'm really, really calm and stable now. So I said, hey, son, I know you've wanted a brother. Yeah, I got to tell you something. I said, I think I have a kid, another son.
Oh, my God.
And he's like listening. It's really quiet on the other end of the phone. And he's quiet. I'm like, yeah, I went on 23andMe. And I looked at this kid, and there's this kid who's has 50% of my chromosomes. His name's Troy Baker. I got a picture. He looks like me. And it goes really, really quiet. And I could hear him processing. And all of a sudden, he starts laughing. I go, what's funny? He says, I didn't tell you this. 2 years ago, I took 23andMe. My nutrition, I was freaked out about giving my name, so I used the Troy Baker name.
My
he
God.
Says, that's me.
No way. That is the funniest thing I've ever heard.
That is crazy. And he was laughing and laughing. I'm like,
oh my God.
Why didn't you tell me? And then I explained to him, I have not slept for 4 nights. Wait. I've gone through hiring attorneys. I've had to tell her I couldn't sleep. 23andMe, and it's you. You are
what?
Troy Baker.
What did the picture look like? What picture? Do you remember the picture now that you saw on Instagram of him?
I'm
the one that you said, like, it looks like me.
It's going to tell you, I'll show you off air. Because
I'm anxious to see this. So you see it and you recognize immediately that it looks like you. What was his outcome like when he tested his 23andMe? Like, what did his say? Did you ever have that discussion with him?
No, I know he's my son.
No, but like, okay, wait.
No, his mother, I was never married to his mother.
Yeah, okay.
So the way he came about was his mom was a little older than I was. I was 22, she was 30.
Yeah.
And she was a career woman, and she told me she didn't ovulate. She goes, I don't ovulate. I can't get pregnant.
Yeah.
Fire away.
It's true, right? Well, because so, if you don't have a period, then you're not getting.
Well, if you don't ovulate, there's no way you're going to get pregnant.
Right.
That's what she told me. And then all of a sudden, dating her for 3 months. This is when I was playing football. She comes to me and she's like, I'm pregnant.
Oh, that's tough.
And I'm like, no, you can't be pregnant. You're not pregnant. You don't get pregnant. You don't ovulate. You went to the doctor, all this stuff. And then she said the funniest thing to me, which I bought hook, line, and sinker. She said, well, either you have very strong sperm, or it's an act of God. And I was like, I've got strong sperm.
Yeah.
He busted through and made you ovulate.
Yeah. This is a gift.
What a ruse.
Ruse. But still, that's really a gift, right? I mean, obviously now we look back.
Amazing,
it must be a blast. But being 23, 24 to have a child seems insane, especially with the career you had.
Yes. Yeah, so.
That's so crazy.
This is my son. I'm showing you.
Oh my God,
picture.
He looks just like you.
Okay, this is my son.
He's so handsome. Wait.
That's me. This is my son, and that's Troy Baker.
So they don't look the same in those photos.
They look so similar. Look at his
Wait
face
a second.
And look at my face. Look at the proscenium Neanderthal man arch.
No, he looks like your son.
Yes.
Of course. Now, this other kid.
That is my son.
That he is your son.
That's Tyler.
That's the same picture.
Yes.
It's the same boy in both pictures.
No. One is Troy Baker, and one is my son. This is the guy I found on Instagram, Troy Baker, who I was so sure that was my son.
No, he doesn't look like you.
Oh my God, he looks just like
me. He has a huge nose. Did you have a bigger nose that you had?
Maybe his mom had a big nose. Maybe his mom had a big nose. I thought he looked just like me.
I don't think
people.
He looks like
you. Oh my gosh, look at the forehead.
The hairline is the same, but it's a common hairline.
No, the forehead, the nose, the mouth. This
but
was
listen,
my son.
Listen, I totally, okay, without the picture even being known, I could still see the whole scenario playing out. Because if it says 50%, and then you wrote to the company, and they said, no, this is the way it is, there is no other way that person couldn't be your son. Because we have 100% genetics, and 50% were yours. So it's clear.
Not possible.
Not possible.
But you know what's so interesting is how our mind wants to fill in the gap. How I found this guy close the story loop. I was so sure of it. I didn't know what I was going to do. And it's just, I was 100% sure. I showed other people, my friends, that's your boy.
Totally understand that when you just go ahead with the narrative and you don't even think. My neighbor downstairs, this is a few years ago, he's a young kid, like 32, whatever. He seems to have a great life because I hear him all the time having sex, right? So one day, and this is when he first moved in.
Wait, it's so funny that you say he's having a great life because he's having sex. Like, well, that's the only prerequisite.
It sounds pretty good to me.
No, that everything else must be great because he's having great sex.
Yes.
Is there something missing, Christine? Is there something missing in your life?
I will go with the flat yes. But anyway, at that time, this is like 3-4 years ago.
Wait, hold on. You've never had great sex with somebody but had a bad relationship?
Yeah, that's true. Boy, that is interesting.
Yeah, so what you're saying is everybody's had great sex is happy.
Well, my point is this, in this experiment, I was thinking I would like that sort of a life too. So one day I see out in the garbage, like in the recycling, this big, huge box that says Zinus on the side. It's a Zinus mattress. And so in my head I say, oh, well, Travis got a new mattress. It's a Zinus. That's probably why he's having so much sex, because that mattress is flipping amazing. So I have never actually bought myself like a brand new mattress as an adult. So I go online, I buy a Zinus mattress. It comes, I get the bed set up. It's beautiful. It's like that foam thing, and it's king size, and it's fabulous. And I see Travis in the courtyard, and I say, hey, man, I bought that Zinus mattress, man. I bought that same mattress. It's amazing. I love it. And he goes, what? I go, you know, the mattress, because I saw the box. And he's like, I have no idea what you're talking about, Christine.
Oh, that's funny. Did you have better sex with that mattress?
The point is, there's 40 other neighbors around, but in my mind, I say it's Travis's mattress.
And he needs a new one every 6 months because he's having so much good sex.
It's not his mattress at all.
No, I get you.
It had nothing to do with the mattress.
I'm still stuck on that. You never bought a mattress as an adult. The mattress is the one thing you don't buy at Goodwill.
I bought when I moved to LA.
No, explain to me that.
I'm explaining it. When I was 22, I moved to LA and I did buy a mattress. Now we fast forward, I'm going to say 25 years. Well, wait, at one point I had a cabin in Big Bear. I bought beds for the cabin, but it wasn't like I rented it out. So it wasn't even like my bed. You know what I mean? I bought like beds for a rental cabin. Then fast forward like 4 years ago. So, okay, now we're 27 years in. And I bought a Zinus.
And? I still didn't
answer. It's fucking great.
Is it good sex? Does good sex come with
it? It's all better. Everything's better on that mattress.
So when you meet a guy, you like just show him like the invoice?
I said, you got to see my mattress.
Yeah, you got to come see the Zinus.
You're never going to believe it.
Sex is going to be great in the
Zinus. All four sides are sturdy. You know what I mean? Like, you're not going to slip off. Because, you know, if you have a mattress for so long, it turns into an oval. Dan Nitro Clark, you don't have these problems.
No. I've never.
I was telling my daughter the other day, like, you know, it's hard. You know, she's an only child, right? And I'm the youngest of six. And there's just a big difference with the way we grew up. You know, like, I come from hose people. We drank out of the garden hose. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. I was one of those.
My daughter will never drink out of a garden hose.
Nobody's daughter in L.A. is drinking out of the garden. We had this conversation with a buddy the other day.
We're not even drinking out of the faucet.
Right. That's funny, Christine. We won't even drink out of the faucet. You know? But you're right, though. We used to crick the garden hose, spray it in our mouth.
Sure.
That was fantastic.
Sure.
But we also used to say, go outside. My mom would say to me, go outside.
Yeah.
Come home when it's dark.
Exactly. Oh, and then my mother rang a cowbell, and that meant there was food available.
Yes. And now, you know, like our 8-year-old, he's got a little like satellite watch that tells us where he is every single minute.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, it's a little watch.
Because he doesn't carry a phone yet.
Yeah, we don't want to give him a phone at 8. Yeah. So he's got this watch, and he's got like the 6 people, his dad, me, his grandparents.
Oh, that's great.
And we can always track where he is every single moment, and we can call him, we can reach out. I mean, it's crazy.
I put a chip in my daughter's neck.
Oh my God, there was that episode of The Black Mirror. Did you see that Jodie Foster directed?
Oh,
they put
it.
Yeah. Technology.
That's been a while, but
far.
That is good stuff. But we have, obviously, things are very different now with children, and I'm very happy that I can give her the things that I never had. You know what I mean? Whether it be just brand new clothes or.
Hold on. You didn't have clothes as a kid?
Well, I wore all hand-me-downs.
Oh, because you were the youngest.
Yeah.
Right.
And my mother also made a lot of our clothes. And so she literally used a Singer sewing machine. And she would make our clothes. And as I got taller, she would just add on to the bottom of my pants.
Oh, wow.
So you could tell how old I was by counting the rings around my pants.
That's a great story.
Is it?
Yeah, when I was...
Is it really?
No, it actually is a great story.
Well,
it's very unique to you.
Poverty is a great motivator, for sure. You know what I mean? And I don't want my daughter to have to grow up like that. That being said, back in Pennsylvania, we had an acre of land, you know what I mean, and a bigger house. And so there are gives and takes.
Give and takes. Yeah, I used to wear, this is true, when I came back and joined my mother when I was 11 years old, mm-hmm. I used to share Wrangler jeans and Lee jeans with my younger sister. She's a year and a half younger. We
absolutely
both wore the same jeans.
I love Wranglers and I love Lees. Lees had that big leather pouch, that the big leather patch on the back.
Yeah, yeah, those were, yeah, it's a different time. However, you know, I do have 11 nieces and nephews.
Oh, that's so great. And isn't it fun?
That's just the joy.
The best.
Because you can give them back,
the
right?
The best, yeah.
You get to be the cool uncle.
You get to be the best. It's so fun.
But I'll tell you this, though. I've seen so many of them because the youngest is 5 all the way up to 32.
Sure.
From at 2 years old, you're scary. At 4, you're kind of unscary. At 5 to 12, you're just the coolest thing ever.
Yeah.
It's Uncle Dan. Right about high school, like, oh, God, here comes Uncle Dan.
And
right?
Then it never leaves.
Oh, no. We're 20s, it starts to come back a little bit.
That's
they start
true.
They start to enjoy you. They like,
that's
oh,
true.
That's my smart uncle.
Yeah, you're the cool uncle or you're the gladiator uncle. I mean, that's got to be cool. That's got to get you some points.
I don't know if it does anymore. It's just so long ago.
Listen, I want to ask you one more thing, and then I got to wrap it up. Unfortunately, because I could talk to you forever. I really feel like I could. You've got a lot of information. Let me just ask you this. As this motivational speaker, as this private coach, as this particular side of your life, like, why do you do that? Like, why do you care? I mean, I guess money obviously is part of it. But like, so somebody calls you and they say, hey, man, I need you to coach me because I can't get my play published or I can't get my book written or I can't. And then like, so they're going to pay you. There's impetus number one. But other than that, why do you
care?
Well,
let me say this too. I coach, I keep like 5 or 6 clients that I coach for free.
Yeah.
So money is important, but making an impact is important.
I see.
And for me, it's
wait, what's the difference between
money and making an
impact?
No,
the other two. Coaching and what?
Coaching for free.
And then what's the other one you do?
Coaching for pay. People hire me to coach them.
Uh-huh.
Which is expensive,
right?
Which when people,
but then you also do it
results,
for free.
I also always keep like 4 or 5 free clients that are always coming in.
Oh, I see what you're
out.
Saying. I see what you're saying.
Who I don't charge.
I
don't
see.
Charge. You know, there's a
that's really kind of you.
Well, I've been doing one girl, Shelly, who just lost her mom. If you listen to the Shelly, I'm sorry about your mom, but she works at Walmart,
mm-hmm.
and she's in another state, and she could never afford my coaching. But she reached out to me on Facebook, told me she loves my Facebook Live videos I do at Dan Nitro Clark all the time, and I just said to her, hey, look. I'm going to help you. I want to help you.
What does she want to do? You don't have to get personal, but curious. Like,
it's open. Part of the agreement is I coach them. I can also tell their stories.
Oh, I see.
So she had a stroke.
I see.
And she was in her mid-40s. And she had a stroke. And she was having trouble because she wanted to get back into flow into the work life. But the main thing she was doing is she was trying to hide the fact of her stroke. And it made her speech just a little bit slow and she got self-conscious and she started getting anxiety and panic attacks about it.
Yeah. So how do you tell her, don't worry about it?
Well,
everybody has
issues.
I have
this belief. There's a Japanese thing called kintsugi.
Yeah, I know. It's the thing where they fill in the holes with gold or silver.
Yeah. So there's beauty in your scars. So the first thing I said, accept what happened to you.
Right.
So instead of walking up, trying to hide your stroke, talk normal, you walk up and when you're meeting with someone, you say, hey, look, I just have to tell you that I've had a stroke.
Yeah. You probably noticed my speech is a little off. I had a stroke. I'm recovering.
Stroke.
It's all good now.
You meet them on a human level.
Yeah. Of course.
So instead of trying to hide and be perfect, you meet somebody on a human level, find the beauty in your scars and move forward.
Yeah.
And from there, it was giving her different conversations. So there's people that I do coach for free all the time.
I see.
Because that's part of what my idea, my goal of making impact.
That's nice.
Because I've had 35 years.
And then the other people that are making a lot of money, if they're making a lot of money and they're doing so well, what are some of their coaching needs? Because it feels like to me, everybody's coaching at the end of the day comes down to, I need to make more money. Isn't that what you need coach toward?
No.
What do you need coach for?
So a friend, one of my clients, he's a neurosurgeon. One of the top neurosurgeons in the United States. Right? I don't want to say his name. He's one of the top neurosurgeons. But in his life, I believe there's 4 buckets. In life, I believe there's 4 buckets that we need to put our things into. And his bucket of career is full.
Yeah.
His bucket of relationships is empty.
Right.
His bucket of personal health is empty.
Right.
So what I help him do is come up with strategies.
Separate it out.
To separate out so
That's
all
smart.
The buckets are filled.
Yeah.
So a lot of people who are successful come to me because, like me, when I was super successful, billboards selling out Madison Square Garden, I thought that would be the answer to happiness.
Yeah.
I thought it would create bullet poop happiness.
Oh, yeah. No, that's for sure not true. Yeah, and that's so sad. I tell you, I've I've dated some very wealthy men. And it's really sad when, you know, you're in this beautiful home and you all see all this great furniture and all this great art or whatever. And then you know that the person in there is not going well. You know, there's no joy. And then it's just like, God damn, that would be tough. Because you look around, you got everything you said you wanted, and here you are. So that would suck.
Yeah. So I have a lot of people I coach like that, that this is all there is.
I don't have that personal experience because I never got to that point where I have everything. But I do know that it isn't what you have. It's not what you want. It's what you have. I do know that.
Yeah. Success means something different to everybody. But I think in this time and era, success also has to go into fulfillment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how do we become fulfilled?
Yeah,
And happiness is different than satisfaction.
Yeah.
Right? So I think I help a lot of people with that, where they have these big homes.
It's interesting.
Well, because, again, I was on TV, everything was great, but so many times I'd find myself on cocaine, GHB, high out of my mind. I'd wake up in the morning on the floor weeping.
Yeah.
I go, why am I crying? I have everything more than I ever imagined.
You should only be on the floor weeping if somebody died. In life. I'm serious. Like, if somebody dies, you get a pass. Or if you find out, like, my first husband got another girl pregnant while we were married, I get a pass for crying on the floor.
Yeah, you get a pass. You get a pass.
Other than that, you shouldn't be on the floor crying. That's so true.
So for me, I can come from that point where I've had so much and it felt like nothing.
Yeah.
And then I had to rebuild my life based upon different principles, that it wasn't just the material things that create success.
That's really nice. And I guess obviously when people come to you, they're ready to change. They're ready to make an effort because that's why they come to you. Because it just seems like a lot of people obviously don't even make the effort, don't even think about it and figure like, this is just the way it is. I get this paycheck. This is the way I live. And I'm done.
You know, I think everybody deserves to be happy.
No, I do too. I'm just saying,
everybody deserves greatness.
The good news is, I'm breaking it down. In my perspective, I feel like you've got a really good job because the people coming to you want the help. I mean, in other words, like therapy. You know what I mean? They already want the help. That's why they're there. So that's good.
Yeah.
It's a win-win.
It's a win-win.
There, I broke it all down for you, Dan. Just in case you didn't know.
Good. Thank you.
Well, you're probably wondering why I called you here today.
That's hilarious.
You are super fun. Thank you so much, really, for coming over and talking with me. It's really great to meet you at Podcast Movement. That was fun.
You were fantastic.
Well,
you were so fantastic. As soon as you got done speaking, I said, I got to meet her. I got to know her.
Oh, that's so kind.
I want to be on her show. And I looked up your show and I did the work.
I reached out and contacted you. And now
we're sitting here.
It's so smart.
How did you get Larry King?
I love Larry.
How'd you get Larry King? I saw that. Oh my God. How'd she get Larry King?
Yeah, and I had him twice actually, and we're in talks to do it again. And he was scheduled 2 weeks ago and we had to cancel it, but he had to cancel it. But
how'd you get Larry King?
Okay, how did I get him? At that time, I was working with a guy at Wondery Media who knew him, who knew his publicist. And so now I know his publicist, and she's just a young, sweet girl. And I just love Larry so much. He's a really good man, and he's just a very... just warm and kind, naturally curious like I am. I know you are. And I just hate that he's older. I want him to, he just reminds me of my dad, I think, is part of it.
I saw that. I go, wow, that's so cool. Will you help me meet Larry?
I will help you.
His publicist.
That's right. All right, you guys, I got to wrap it up. Thank you so much again for tuning in today. And please give me a shout out over there on Twitter and Instagram at Storyworthy. And then head over to Dan's website, danclarknitro.net. Is that right?
That's exactly right.
And what about your Instagram and Twitter and all that?
Dan Nitro Clark.
Dan Nitro Clark. That was a good idea to pick that name because Dan Clark has got to be taken.
Oh my God! I went to UCLA to fill in a prescription.
Yeah.
I said my name's Dan Clark. They said, "Well, we need to know your middle name." I said, "Why? How many Dans can you have?" And they're like 27.
That's 27 one
Dan Clarks. Yes.
Nobody's gonna take Dan Nitro Clark.
Nitro!
All right, you guys, one more time on behalf of Dan Clark. My name's Christine Blackburn, saying, make it a story-worthy week.
Thanks for joining us on the Story-Worthy Podcast. We'll be back next week with all new stories. Subscribe to Storyworthy on iTunes and visit the Storyworthy website at storyworthypodcast.com.